Item number 14, please. We'll start off with the hearing the item in open session, and then we'll return to a closed session for a report from our corporation.
A resolution by Supervisors Dmitrievich, Biddle, Broderick, Roma West, Haas, Harris, Wyshon, Johnson, and DeBruin, authorizing and directing the Interim Director, Department of Administrative Services, Division of Employee Benefits, to revise the Milwaukee County Employee Health Plan to extend the health benefits coverage to domestic partners of eligible active Milwaukee County employees and their dependents. This item was also referred to the Committee on Finance and Audit, who approved it by a vote of 4-1.
Thank you very much. Supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to concur with the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Dmitrievich, thank you for coming
to
this committee.
Thank you. Of course, thank you. Great debate today on many issues, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for recognizing me. And thank you, Supervisor Haas, for the motion to concur with Finance. We had a really healthy debate with some great testimonies yesterday. And because there's some overlap, and perhaps some people, I know at least Supervisor Schmidt was on Finance, I won't be long, because this is actually not a new item for us. But what I want to draw your attention to is that there is a lot. It's not what was introduced a few years ago. What you have before you and what was adopted at Finance yesterday and approved is a move for a private sector domestic partnership benefit model for our county workforce. As you may know, we actually are one of the last, at least in the local region, when it comes to governments and definitely private companies, to extend these type of benefits to our employees. I think you may have seen that we, the sponsors, held a press event at St. Luke's, and many asked, well, why would you do that? Well, we wanted to show that Aurora, which is the largest private employer in the state of Wisconsin, has gladly had these benefits for quite some time and have seen nearly a 1% increase. And so that was symbolic. We are joined by a very diverse coalition, including Voces de la Frontera and other people from the community, Equality Wisconsin, Fair Wisconsin, just to name a few. I think the number one question that I've got is, well, Marina, how much is this going to cost? How many people will it affect? And unfortunately, the answer that we have right now is that we don't know, and we won't know exactly until we proceed with this legislation. The way that it's written is it's a three-phase part. It won't happen today, it won't happen tomorrow, and it actually won't happen in 2011. It'll begin effectiveness on 1/1/12. And why it's important to act on it now is so that we can get that number. We have great estimates. They've been signed off by DAS, Fiscal Affairs, and our Corp Council has reviewed it as well, that using what's around us, there's great data, it could be a nearly 1% increase. Just look at our neighbors, the city of Milwaukee, who've been doing this for nearly 10 years, and they only saw 35 employees out of 3,500 want to use this benefit. So that's the financial part. If you'll allow me, Mr. Chairman, I'll conclude with a few other facts as well. I think it's important to note, as earlier in this meeting, because this is personnel, you can see, looking especially at behavioral health, on recruitment and retaining employees. It's extremely important as we're seeing retirees and we're trying to attract a new workforce to Milwaukee County that we have these tools in our toolbox to be able to compete. If most other local public and private sectors offer these benefits, how can we compete to have the most diverse and talented workforce? And I wanted to bring up what I think is an interesting survey that MMAC has a group called Fuel Milwaukee, which are usually younger entrepreneurs and professionals. They conducted a survey in July of 2010 of their 3,000 members, and 52% surveyed said they're more likely to accept a job offer if they knew that an employer offered domestic partnership benefits. I'd also like you to know that of the 10 Fortune 500 companies in southeastern Wisconsin, 60%, that's six, offer these benefits to their employees. Some of the examples, because I know that many like Milwaukee County to run like a business, are Johnson Controls, Kohl's, and Rockwell. And they've been doing this since 2007. And lastly, and I know that we'll have testimony as well, to me I think the most obvious part, rather than all the facts and the finances and the data, is we should no longer treat our employees who are on domestic partnership as second-class citizens. This is actually a civil rights issue, and I personally think that it's slightly embarrassing that we once again have to be the last to offer these kind of benefits. I think it's time in Milwaukee to move forward. We have some early support from the county executive, which I'd like to thank him for his forward thinking on this, and I think the time is right now, and I don't think equality can wait any longer, Mr. Chairman. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Supervisor Dimitriou. Supervisor Schmidt?
I don't have any comments.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Any questions or comments? Supervisor Cesar.
One question, Mr. Chairman. The 1% figure I read in several documents applies to using the experience, I think, of the city of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a 1% of eligible workers or 1% of total dollars expected to expend, or does it actually work out to be the same percentage based on that review?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, 1% refers to the total spend on our health expenditures.
Okay. And if I remember one of the fiscal notes, they were talking about the city of Milwaukee was looking at about 1% of the actual headcount of eligible employees, so out of their pool of 3,500 people, it amounted to 35, I think, in our documentation. Is that correct, Ms. Session?
Yes.
And then, Mr. Chairman, how many total employees do we have in our work pool, both rep and non-rep, that would be eligible for this?
I believe the number is approximately
5,800. So perhaps a starting figure of about 58 individuals, mm-hmm. and their significant other. Okay. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Supervisor Dmitrievich,
I'm sorry. May I add something?
Please go ahead.
I'm so sorry. There was an important. It may come up in questions. I didn't want to conclude the public testimony before I mention this. I've also got a lot of questions about how it will work, and possible fraud, abuse. I've heard all kinds of interesting things, which I won't repeat. But yesterday at Finance, we had County Clerk Sarneski here. He already administers in his statutory duty the statewide domestic partnership registry, and he stated it was definitely over 300 people. These are Milwaukee County residents who have come and declared their domestic partnership. And it's actually been an interesting revenue producer as well, I should mention. But he has stated publicly here that, of course, he'd be glad to maintain our registry as well. And that's the one thing I want to submit to you, Mr. Chairman, is that it's not some easy thing to do. You have to go and get actually registered via affidavit and become a member of the registry to perhaps obtain, if you're accepted with the right data, these benefits. So, and then anyone who would fraud any of our benefits, which could be going on right now, for example, could be audited, and the penalty could, per perjury as well, could be loss of benefits and job. So, it's the same requirements actually stipulated in the state statutes what you need to become a domestic partner. It's not necessarily, super easy. You do have to have a lot of legal requirements. So thank you.
You're welcome. Nobody has a question. I do have one question. The 1% number that we hear that we can use as an estimate is based on what the experiences are at private sector companies and at the city of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Has a comparison been done to look at the benefits included in our health plan versus those other health plans? Because the richer that a health plan's benefits are, is the more likelihood that people are going to want to get involved in them. And when you compare the private sector, if a domestic partner of an individual has very identical benefits to his or her domestic partner at another company, there may not be any incentive to move, but if one of those has a significantly better benefit plan, you would have an incentive to move. And so I'm just wondering, was a comparison done? How does the county's benefits fall into with the private sector and with the city of Milwaukee, and would that increase our likelihood to experience more than a 1% change?
If I could make a quick point of clarification on that, the 1% stems from a comparison of the city of Milwaukee, state ETF, Dane County primarily, which are all public sector benefits with a fairly comparable plan design. The state of Wisconsin is actually a little bit richer plan design as far as built-in cost sharing than ours is. The 1% estimate is basically derived from the city's experience, where they saw 1% of their eligible add a spouse or partner to the coverage, which equaled a 0.5% increase in their covered population and a similar increase to their expense as a result of it. The state of Wisconsin initially had an estimate of 1 to 2%, which they refined with the help of their actuaries based on lower than anticipated enrollment to 1.25 to 1.75% on that range. From our end, we settled in at 1% on this, that we felt that the combination of plan design, the imputed income tax ramifications would help suppress the enrollment and keep it a little bit lower. That's based on the active population and the active spend. We believe it'd be roughly a 1% increase to covered lives correlating to a 1% increase to expense for that group.
Okay. And the cost difference between this resolution versus what we heard the last time when this was before the board, the estimates at that time were higher.
The 2009, I believe you're referencing the 2009 memo to Supervisor De Bruin. We were asked for a quick review of it to see what the issues and potential costs could be. At that time, that was before we had any data from state ETF. The only public sector comparison that we were able to obtain was the city of Milwaukee, who is actually a bit more restrictive on their benefit design for domestic partners. Where we didn't feel that was perfectly credible. So we were looking primarily at private sector employers who have a much lesser plan design. We were very conservative with it because of that difference in plan design between the private sector and ours.
Any other questions? Okay, at this time, we have several people from the audience who have requested to speak on this issue. We're going to limit the comments to 2 minutes maximum so that we can move on with other items in our meeting. I will start off with the first person, Jacqueline Long.
Lindo.
Lindo, I'm sorry.
Hello, my name is Jacqueline Lindo. I am one of the 35 domestic partners that receive benefits through the city of Milwaukee. I work part-time as a therapist with children who have been abused and adults who've unfortunately lost their kids due to their behavior. And I work part-time for Equality Wisconsin. I wouldn't be able to do either one of those positions without the help of my partner, who's able to give me domestic partnership benefits, health benefits. I'm a type 1 diabetic. If I didn't have these benefits, I would probably be on Badger Care, would be restricted on how much I could work because of the requirements of Badger Care. I do good work, and I'm able to do it because I have domestic partnership benefits. My partner pays a fair amount of taxes so that I can have those benefits. For that reason, I mean, for all of these reasons, I really believe that the county needs to offer these benefits to their employees. The city of Milwaukee offers them. The city of Madison offers them. The city of Chicago offers them. The state of Wisconsin offers them. A number of businesses in the Midwest and on both coasts offer them. It's a good way to obtain good employees and have healthy families working for the county of Milwaukee. So I urge you to vote to have these benefits for your employees. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. Mr. Ray Vahey.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ray Vahey, and I'm president of Equality Wisconsin Fund and co-president of Equality Wisconsin. I'm here to speak in favor of the resolution to extend benefits to registered domestic partners. I'm an old man with memories. I remember as a child of four seeing signs in apartment house windows that read, "Apartment for rent, Gentiles only, no dogs allowed." At the same time, my beloved spouse of 50 years, Richard Taylor, voluntarily put himself into harm's way for his generation and all of those that followed, but he was not equal enough to marry me. I remember when men, women, and children died for the right to vote, to drink water, to eat, to go to school, to live a life of equality. I remember when college student freedom riders went south to join an African American in the struggle for voting rights. I remember when they were murdered, and the families of the whites were informed of their deaths from the White House. But the mother of the African American learned of her son's fate over the television. I remember when immigrants worked for low wages in ketchup and sugar beet factories for 16 hours a day at the height of the season and 4 hours as the crops petered out. All of the time, they were treated as subhuman. I remember when gays lived in hiding and perpetual fear for their jobs and their lives. The financial problems with which you grapple do not come from labor, the middle class, or the poor. They are the result of the unbridled greed of the powerful. If you will not vote for the resolution, please do not delay it. If you vote in favor, you'll be proud that you did. You'll be able to tell your children and your grandchildren that in difficult times, you were on the side of the angels. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Mr. Roger Hansen.
I'm Roger Hansen, a resident of Wauwatosa, represented by Supervisor Schmidt, with whom we've been in contact and had a response from. I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak today in support of this resolution. I've been in a relationship for 13 years with my partner, John Payton, who's also present. I lost my job recently, and I'm fortunate that my partner has an employer that offers domestic benefits, health benefits. I have a chronic health condition, which is very important for me to have that kind of health coverage, and so it's very important to me. And if he or I were had Milwaukee County as an employer, we would not be able to do that. In addition to being together for 13 years, we have had a marriage ceremony 9 years ago in our religious community, the Milwaukee Meeting of the Religious Society of Friends, or Quakers. So we have the support of our religious community. We've registered as domestic partners in Milwaukee, here in Milwaukee County. And yet, despite all of that, we still would not be able to have those health benefits if it were up to Milwaukee County at present. So I urge you, please, please, to support this. There might be some additional cost, but I think that's a very small price to pay for just a basic sense of fairness, as others have so eloquently testified. It is a basic matter of fairness, and I would like, and my partner, to be treated equally with other residents of Milwaukee County. Thank you again.
Thank you for coming. Mr. John Payton.
Mr. Chairman, I think my partner has eloquently said everything I could care to say, so I won't take any more from this one.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming. And Ms. Lizzie Dahl.
I also will defer. I think people have expressed my views quite differently.
And thank you for coming today. Anybody else wish to make a public comment? Supervisor Biddle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, colleagues. I'll keep it brief since I had an opportunity to speak about this yesterday at the Finance and Audit Committee. There is a lot of tangible reasons why we should do this. I mean, we all know that we're having trouble recruiting high-quality talent into our BHD facilities. We had some reports from Health and Human Needs. I know Finance and Audit, I'm pretty sure you guys probably had the same report in your committee, that we have a plethora of openings. Because we cannot compete with the private sector. We can't compete with the state house of corrections. We can't even compete with the VA. You know, we don't have the tools to attract high-quality talent. I mean, there's companies offering $20,000, $30,000, to $40,000 more. Because of draconian cuts, we've really slacked away against benefits. So we need more tools to attract high-quality talent. But honestly, this, for me, is about fairness. It's about equality. It's about justice. We should have all of our workers deserve the same benefits and the same privileges that we give to folks who are not domestic partners. So that's really what it's about for me. So I don't expect to get 19 votes on this. The county executive supports this. We have 9 co-sponsors. There's a huge community support for this initiative. The people in my district appreciate the fight that the 9 co-sponsors have had to try to get this through. It's important to me because it's about equality and fairness, and I hope that if you oppose it, and that's fine, because we all have our own ideological positions and views. That's democracy. That's how it works. I get that. But I would ask that if you do oppose it, just don't delay it. You know, use your voice to vote it no on the board floor. Make your voice known. Represent your constituents in what you feel is right to do, but do not delay equality, fairness, and justice for all of our workers. Do not cripple us from using this tool to attract high-quality talent into BHD into our other vacant county positions. It makes sense. There is a fiscal cost to it, but it's a fair price for fairness and equality for all people in this county. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for coming and giving us your comments. Mr. Zarnecki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Joe Zarnecki, County Clerk. I just want to say that I do support this resolution, but I'm here primarily to give you some information. As you know, the County Clerk's Office does administer the State Domestic Partnership Declaration Program, and since that program went into effect in 2009, we have issued 313 domestic partnership declarations, which is a relatively small number given the population of Milwaukee County. So I would expect that, again, we would have a relatively small number of county employees signing up for this. Another concern that we always get in our office when people sign up for this and want benefits and that, and they say, well, how do you know that they aren't doing it fraudulently and they aren't really domestic partnership and things like that? And they do swear an affidavit to that effect that they are in a committed relationship, that they do share a common residence. Again, the penalties for that are right on the application form, saying, again, and false swearing on a document recovered required by a government agency is a Class H felony in Wisconsin. False swearing before a notary public is a Class A misdemeanor. So, again, if somebody is trying to do it fraudulently, they are subject to the penalties of the law. And the last thing I'd like to mention, that if the board chooses that the county clerk's office be the one to accept the applications for this program, should it go into effect, that's something my office can do with no additional cost or staff to the county.
Yeah, sure. Supervisor Schmidt.
Yeah, my question would be, and again, who follows up on this, okay, when they register? I mean, you know, the fraud. Do you know of any case ever that's been prosecuted because people have fraudulently said they were in domestic relationship and they've proven not to be?
I'm not aware of it, and the city of Milwaukee has had this for quite a while. Dane County has had it for a number of years, and again, one of the things I've looked at is their application, and again, it's similar to the state application where the penalties for false swearing are right on the application, so people are made aware of it. I'm not aware of any time when anyone has actually been prosecuted for it, though.
Mr. Hanchek, you have something to add to this?
Yes, if I could add, we have internal controls at the county as well that apply to all employees when they enroll in benefits. They attest that all of the information that they are submitting when they enroll every year is accurate and complete, with the penalty of the revoking the benefits, retroactively collecting anything that we've paid, and terminating employees. And we have terminated employees in the past and recouped funds in cases where we've found fraud. Another issue to consider is that the board has tasked me with submitting an RFP for a dependent eligibility audit. Yeah. And this is one thing that I would have to include in that scope as we proceed with it.
Thank you. Any other questions? I guess I have one. Is there a procedure for the dissolution of a domestic partnership, similar to if there's a divorce?
Yes, under the state domestic partnership program, yes, both domestic partners can submit an application. They submit that to the county clerk for the dissolution of the domestic partnership, and they file that with the county clerk. There is a fee, the same fee that applies when you do it, $105. That's by state law, and they both sign an affidavit dissolving that domestic partnership. Again, that's tantamount to a divorce. Under state law, if someone else, if one of the two domestic partnerships gets married, the domestic partnership is automatically dissolved by state law.
Okay. And then and maybe Mr. Hancher can answer this question, because I'm unfamiliar. In the case of a divorce, are the spousal benefits, do they remain after divorce, and would they remain after the dissolution of a domestic partner benefit, you know, for the non-county employee person in the relationship?
Chairman, members, with regards to divorce, your benefits end basically the first of the month following that. I would assume that we would apply the same rules with the case of domestic partnership. It's hypothetical at this point because the county's never offered domestic partner coverage, so we've never defined a rule for it. But there'd be nothing precluding us from applying that same standard.
Okay. If you're going to refresh my memory maybe to the wording in the resolution, will the department then create the rules under which, assuming this resolution is approved, would you then create the all those rules that would follow?
Mr. Chairman, yes. In fact, if this were to succeed through the board and be signed by the county executive, we would need another ordinance to change our we need another piece of legislation to change our county ordinances, and that would be in that as well.
And that would follow.
That would follow and be part of it.
All right. Thank you very much. Can you tell me how many people have you had domestic partnership resolutions? Do you have a record of that?
Who have dissolved them?
Yes.
Yes, we've had two so far.
Two
out of the 313 we've had since 2009. And if you compare that to marriage licenses, we first of all, we issue almost 5,000 marriage licenses a year, and I think if you look at the national statistics, almost half the marriages end in divorce today. So,
actually, I mean, 2% is a remarkable number. I mean, you have to give credit.
Well, it's less than 2%. Two out of 313. That's less than 1%.
Okay, one last chance. Anybody wish to speak? We're going to. We have to get some information from Corporation Counsel on this issue. Supervisor Borkowski?
You do. Well, Mr. Chairman, committee members, make a motion to go on a full session of one of the provisions of the Wisconsin statute, sections 19.85, paragraph 1, paragraph G, for the purpose of the committee receiving oral or written advice from legal counsel concerning strategy to be adopted with respect to the pending or possible litigation with regard to the following matters. And I'll do both. Just because we have to do it a second time. Number 14 is a resolution authorizing and directing the Interim Director, Department of Administrative Services, Division of Employee Benefits, to revise Mauk County Employee Health Plan to extend the health benefit coverage to domestic partners of eligible active Mauk County employees and their dependents. And then we will eventually get to number 15, which is the from the Interim Director, Department of Labor Relations and Legal Counsel reporting and conferring on our litigation before the Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission by AFSCME District Council 48.
Mr. Chairman, if you anticipate discussing number 16 while we are in closed session so that we take all three matters at once, 16 is related to our collective bargaining caucus.
Oh, yes.
I would ask that the Vice Chairman amend his motion to include 1985-1C as also a reason to go into closed session.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, item number 16, I'm going to make that motion for going into closed session under the provisions of Wisconsin Statute Sections 19.85, paren 1, paren C, paren G, for the purpose of discussing the following matters, which is number 16, deliberation, negotiation, or renegotiation of collective bargaining agreements. At the conclusion of the closed session, this committee may reconvene in open session, take whatever actions it may deem necessary, and aim for said matters.
Thank you. Please call the vote on the closed session.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Cesars.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to go into closed session is approved.
Thank you.